The title of this message is, I Have a Plan. I Have a Plan.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Aaron.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you that we're able to take Holy Communion because of what you did. We thank you that your word is true, it is powerful, it is alive. And Lord, as we dig into it this morning, Lord, we ask that you would speak, that you would be glorified, that you would be shown, Lord, and that it would be all about you. That we would look and we would say, we have seen Jesus, we have spoken to God Almighty, that the Holy Spirit has had his way in this place. Lord, we ask it in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Lord, did Pastor Jerry go home? He heard I was preaching and he left. Wow. You know, I did not know for sure that I was going to preach this morning until about 45 minutes ago. But God knew. And he showed me through things that I've seen this week, through discussions I've had. And I had this peace. It was almost like a peace that passed over all of my own understanding. And I just told Pastor Jerry, I said, if you had asked me this a long time ago, I said, I would have really had a hard time with this. I said, but I have complete peace. And it reminded me of a quote that I saw this week on Francis Chan's Instagram. And I read it and I was like, yes, that's exactly how I feel. And the quote said, ever since I started seeing Jesus for who he is and what he feels about me, and what I feel about him, I really don't care about much else anything. If you know who he is and how he feels, what else matters? I don't care about much anything else. I don't get upset about a lot of things. I get upset. I don't stay upset. But I don't let things that used to bother me because I know who he is, I know where he is, and I know what he is capable of, which is everything. I cannot let things that are going on, I cannot let being asked to preach with no time for myself to prepare, let that bother me because I wasn't going to prepare anything anyway. What was I going to do? I didn't have anything. I was never going to have anything. If he would have told it to me a month ago or this morning, he already knew. So I'm not going to let that bother me. So I was talking to a friend of mine this week. He called me. And I hadn't talked to him in a while, but he's a very successful business owner. He's been in business for years. He's done great. And he called me and he said, buddy, he said, how's business? And I said, well, it's not the best, but it's okay. It's not great. So we start talking and we're sharing what's going on. And he told me he had just met with six other business owners at a get together, and he said, and they all were saying the same thing, and they were all in different lines of business. Some were in the car business, some were in construction, some were in finance, some owned other businesses. But he said it was all the same thing. He said, business isn't very good. The economy isn't very good. And we kept talking, and he said, you know, I'm a planner. And I said, so am I. He said, I have a plan, and then I have a backup plan, and then I have another plan. And I said, that's how I like to do things. Like, I'm ready, let's go. And he said, but you can't plan for this. And so then we started, the conversation shifted, and we started talking about the Lord. And I said, and I know he's a believer, and we were talking, and I said, well, here's what's great. I said, we serve a God that doesn't have any recessions. We serve a God that has a perfect plan. We serve a God that's not fazed by what's going on. We serve a God that is on the throne, that has victory, and has given it to us. And we talked for like 40 minutes. We got the phone. He said, you know what? He said, I called you to complain. He said, but it was awesome. He said, I forgot all about all the stuff I wanted to talk to you about, and I feel great. And I said, I feel great too. I said, it's always great to talk about what God can do and what he's doing and what he's capable of. And he said, amen. He said, thank you. And I said, thank you. I said, because I'll talk about God anytime. So the title of this message, Rick, did you have time? Look at Rick. See? Rick's the man. The title of this message is, I Have a Plan. I have a plan. Oh, it's a good plan too. I'm going to share it with you. It is the best plan, and I would suggest that you implement it in your lives. This is my plan, and I hope that it becomes your plan. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians is one of my very favorite books. It is very uplifting. It is very positive. I love it. And the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. He says, "Be careful for nothing, but in some things, by prayer." Right? He says, but in whatever thing you feel like, or if you're in the mood, or if you have time, right? He says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So if you do what verse 6 says, in everything with prayer and supplication, you will have the peace that passes all understanding. If you pray and give thanks to God, then verse 7, you have that peace that I felt this morning in a way that I've never felt it. It was so amazing. I was like, yes, I can preach. God will give it to me. Because I prayed and I gave Him thanks. So the first step of our plan, of this plan that I have come up with, is pray. Pray. Step one is pray. And it said here, in everything, pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Paul's talking to another church. Let's see if he gives them a different message. He says, pray occasionally, right? Pray without ceasing. Don't ever stop. Pray. Speak to God. Have an open communication with Almighty God. Pray and then pray and then pray. And then when you're done, pray. And that doesn't mean that you always have to be head down. But I'm always speaking to God. We've talked about it. Speak to God. Ask God. I need you right now. God. God. Like, I think about my kids when they were little. I think about the animals. How they're right beside you, underneath your feet, and you trip over them. That's how I am with Jesus. Jesus. Hey. Hey. He has much better coordination than me, and he doesn't trip. But I'm right there. I'm like, hey, real quick. Hey. I got one more. Hey. I'll be right back. Hey. Hey. Without ceasing, pray. Ask God everything, right? Amen. Ephesians 6:18. Praying when?
Always.
So he said in everything by prayer, pray without ceasing, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and then watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Pray and then pray and then pray. Always. For everything, without ceasing, pray. Jesus taught us how to pray in Matthew chapter 6. Or was this just for the disciples? It's for us. We're disciples. We're followers of Him. But He taught them how to pray. He said, this is how you're going to pray. And we'll start in verse 5. And Jesus said, when you pray, He said, don't be as the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets that men may see them. But He said, I say unto you, they already have their reward. But He says in verse 6, but when you pray, here, you can enter into your closet, right? Enter into your closet, and when you shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. Don't pray as a show. Don't pray so other people see you. Pray because you get to talk to Almighty God. It's about Him, not us. Pray. And He says, when you pray, in verse 7, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like them. Your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask. And He says in verse 9, after this manner therefore pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is the name of Almighty God. Start out acknowledging His holiness. And then he says, your kingdom come. They're saying, God, what you want, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We're praying, what do you want, God? We want what you want. And then he says in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us. Please forgive us as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Holy is his name. His kingdom come. His will be done. He'll give us what we need. And we ask for forgiveness from him. We forgive others. That's how we pray. So we know we're supposed to pray and we know how to pray. And then Hebrews 4:16. I'll have Rick just throw this up there. What's it say? It says that we're able to what? To come boldly when we pray under the throne of grace because of what Jesus did on the cross. So he says, therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. When we come, we can come because of the blood of Jesus, because of what lives within us, not because of ourselves, but because of him. So we should come boldly. We know him. He's in us. And then when we pray what? Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus, answering, he said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and then shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever that you desire, and we know that our desires are to be his will and his kingdom, but whatsoever things, believe. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And he goes on, and look at this. This is very important. The Lord said, we need to focus on forgiveness also in this word. We must be forgiving. If you have unforgiveness with someone, the Lord is speaking to you today. But he says, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So if you have unforgiveness in your heart, the only thing you need to be praying for from God is forgiveness for that unforgiveness to go away. Because he's not going to hear anything else. That's what he says. He's not going to hear it. So if you're not forgiven, don't be asking for it. You're wasting your time. You're not wasting his time because he's not listening. You ask that you have forgiveness like he's forgiven you. So I don't know who God was speaking to, but he said, forgiveness, forgiveness, forgive as he has forgiven us. Step two. And it led right into it. So step one is what?
Pray.
Step two is trust. Trust. He just said it, when you pray, believe. So if we pray, God, I hope you can get this one. Don't pray. No, God, I'm coming to you because I know who you are. I know what you can do. I'm praying your will over this situation. I'm praying for you to intervene in a supernatural way. I don't care what the circumstances are. I believe you. So we pray believing. Trust God. Trust God. Proverbs chapter 3. And we'll start in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. You won't understand all the stuff God's going to do. So if you lean on your own understanding, you can't trust him. You can't. His ways are what? Higher. They're not ours. He's better. He's smarter. Everything he does is perfect. We're not going to understand. So don't lean on your understanding. Just trust God with everything that's in you. Trust him. Verse 6, in all your ways, acknowledge him. It's all about him. When I realized what he thought about me and who he was, I didn't care about much anything else. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And what? He'll direct your paths. Talk about a great path. The path that God has you on. It's perfect. Will it be without problem? Will it be without adversity? No. But it'll be with complete victory. Anything He takes us through is for His glory and for our edification. It'll build patience, it'll build trust, it'll build faith. Whatever we're going through, for Him. Trust Him, acknowledge Him, stay on the path that He has for you. Verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes. Don't think you know anything. The only thing you need to know is He is God and you are not. Right? No, it is. It's all about Him. He knows. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear Him, respect Him, revere Him, honor Him, and depart from evil. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Psalm 37. You can tell that God didn't give me as much time as I like because we're going backwards in the Bible instead of frontwards. I like to go front to back. It just makes me happy. God was like, get over it. And I was like, I am. That's fine. It's no big deal. We can go whichever way He wants. Psalm 37, a psalm of David. And we'll start in verse 3. This is a great suggestion. Trust in the Lord. Do good. So shall you dwell in the land and be fed. Delight yourself in who? The Lord. And He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust Him. And He will bring it to pass. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Don't worry about anyone else. Trust God. Worry about nothing. And trust Him. But so, trust Him. Worry about nothing. The only thing you should worry about is if you're not trusting God. That's terrible. Trust God and stop worrying. So, trust God. God will deal with so-and-so. And so-and-so. And God will deal with you. You trust God. You worry about God. You trust Him with every bit of your being. And you will have such peace. When you realize that you're capable of nothing without Him and everything with Him. You're free. There's nothing else. It's Him. It's Jesus. Psalm 9. Yeah, even in the same book we're going backwards. Psalm 9 verse 10. And they that know thy name. How many of you know his name? All right, here's what you're going to do. They that know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken them that seek thee. You know his name? Are you seeking him? You will not be forsaken. Trust him. Trust him. Pray and then trust him. Psalm 28. Verse 7, another psalm of David. The Lord is my strength and my shield. Is the Lord your strength and your shield? Amen. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him. And guess what? I'm helped. I trust Him and I'm helped. Therefore, my heart will greatly rejoice. And with my song will I praise Him. The Lord is their strength, and He is the saving strength of His anointed. Save your people. Bless your inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. Again, we all know what's going over in Israel, right? Those are God's people. They're going to be okay. The leader of Iran said, I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth. He is mistaken. He will lose. It's over. It's already done. We pray for Israel and we trust that God will protect His people because that's what His Word says. It's done for Iran unless they repent and seek Jesus and ask Israel how they can help them. That's how that's going to go. And this is the kind of faith and this is the kind of trust that I want to see in myself and in everyone for the Lord. Numbers chapter 14. This is the kind of faith that God wants us to have. This is the way He wants us to trust Him. So Moses had sent spies in to see if they could take the land, right? And they saw a bunch of giants. And they saw a big, stronger army, and they saw things that there was no way humanly they could take. And a bunch of the guys that saw it told them that. They said, you're not going to be able to, we can't beat them. There's just no way. All the congregation in verse 1, they lifted up their voice and they cried. And the people wept that night in defeat. They knew they couldn't do it, and they accepted that. All the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. The whole congregation said, wish God would have, that we had just died in Egypt. Or God would have let us die in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword? That our wives and our children should be killed in battle. Wouldn't it have just been better for us to go back to Egypt? Wouldn't it be better just to go back into bondage and slavery? How many of you feel that way when you come up to something that seems impossible for you? Well, I should have just stayed where I was. I shouldn't have gone into the ministry. I should have stayed. I shouldn't have started teaching this class. I shouldn't have volunteered. Why didn't I just stay where I was? Verse 5, Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were with them, and searched the land. They tore their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of Israel. They said, the land which we passed through, these two men, they said, the land that we passed through to search it, it's great, it's exceedingly good. And then look at verse 8. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land. And He's going to give it to us. A land that flows with milk and honey. Rebel not against the Lord. Neither fear the people of this land. They're bread for us. Their defense has departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. That's the prayer. That's the trust. We pray and we trust God can do anything. Those two men saw victory when they looked at their adversary. When they looked at the giants that were in the land. When they looked at the strongholds and the walls and the defense cities. They said, God has this. That's the trust that we must have in our God. Just like Caleb and Joshua. And they were the only two that got to enter into the promised land. Because they trusted God. Do you want to enter into the promised land? Trust God in everything. How can we trust Him? Why? What's it say in 1 John 4:4? Rick knows. It says, you're of God, little children, and you have overcome them because why? Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. There's another pastor that I follow on social media, and I saw him this week, and I'm going to paraphrase, but he goes, you don't have a religion in you. He goes, you don't have an ideology in you. He said, you don't have, and he went on, and he goes, it's not nothing. What do you have in you? You have the Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. So you should wake up every morning and say, with all assuredness, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. If you know who's in you, right? Romans 8:11. What's it say? It says, but if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwells in you. Does Jesus live in you? Do you have power within you? Is greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Then we should trust Him in everything. Step 1. Step 2. Step 3. You guys. I'm going to give you a very simple acronym. PTO. What's that stand for? Stands for paid time off, right? Pray. Trust, obey. We pray for God's will. We trust God's will. And then we obey God's will. It's not enough just to pray and believe. Then we have to act because we trust Him. I saw another pastor. I watch a lot of videos on social media, and some of them speak to me. And this one, this pastor, and I shared this with Rick the other day, and he said, I don't think I shared this here, but he said, I told my daughter, have I already shared this? He said, I told my daughter to go clean her room. Thank you. He said, I told my daughter to go clean her room, and a little bit later I walked by and I was like, oh, she didn't clean her room. So I went back and I said, sweetheart, go clean your room. She said, I heard you. And she said, okay. So he said, a little while longer, he walks back by. And he said, she still hadn't cleaned her room. So he said, I told her again, I was like, go clean your room. She said, got it. And he said, he came again and he said, I've told you like 4 times to go clean your room and you keep saying me, telling me that you heard me, but your room isn't clean. She said, well, I memorized what you said. God hasn't asked us just to memorize His Word, but to do it. Do it. He said, it's not enough to memorize what I've told you. You have to do it. Obey the Word of God. John chapter 14, verse 11. It starts out with the trusting. He says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you will ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And right here, the obeying. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. We say we love God. He wants to see us love Him. And how will He see us love Him? Apparently, when we keep His commandments. Obey. Obey. Pray for His will and His plan. Trust His will and His plan. And obey His will and His plan. We all knew this. So great, we're going to do it. We're going to pray, we're going to trust, and we're going to obey. Pray, trust, and obey. I'm telling you, it's a great plan. I promise you. Luke chapter 6. He just said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, right? Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Jesus says, He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Are you calling Him Lord and not doing what He says? That's the obey. That's very important part. It's only 3 parts. Obey. Why are you calling me Lord and not listening to me? He said, whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and doeth them, I'm going to show you who that man is like. He's like a man which built a house. He dug deep. He laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and it could not be shaken, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that hears and doeth not is like a man without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. If you know Him, and you hear what He's saying, and you've read His Word, and you don't do it, you're a fool. You will fall when the storm comes. Your foundation is built on nothing. But if you trust Him, if you seek Him, you trust Him, and you obey Him, the storm won't affect you. Victory is already yours, because you're built on a firm foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Why do you call me Lord and not do what I say? James chapter 1. James is a less fun book than Philippians. But James asks a lot of good questions and gives a lot of sound wisdom. James chapter 1 verse 22. Be ye hearers of the word, right? Only. Doers. Doers. That's the obedience. Do what it says. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See, you're not deceiving God, but God, I came to church. God, I listened to your word. God, I listened to that pastor on social media. God, I read your word. God, I heard everything you said. That's super. Now do it. You've only done part of it by hearing. Doers of the word, obey this book. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He's looking in a mirror. For he beholds himself and then he goes his way and immediately forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Pray, trust, obey. Pray, trust, obey. Ask him what he wants you to do. Trust him that he'll do it. And obey him and do it. And you will be blessed indeed. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit. Obey. Submit. It's not me, it's you. Whatever you want, God, I'm done. I surrender. I submit to your word, your will, and your plan for my life. Obey. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you don't submit yourself to God, you won't be able to resist the devil and he won't flee. Obey. That's why he says it in that order. First thing, God, I'm all yours. Whatever you say, resist the devil. Devil, you're done. You're defeated. And he will flee. He will run away scared of the power and spirit that lives within you. And we'll close in Mark chapter 14. And we'll see all three of these things in a perfect example from our perfect Lord. Help if I got on the right page. Mark 14, verse 32. Jesus knew that it was his time had come. He was going to go and complete his mission, his victory on the cross. So what do you think Jesus did? They came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit you here. I'm going to pray. Step one. He said, I'm going to pray. And he took with him Peter, James, and John and began to be deeply distressed and to be very heavy. And he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful to death. He said, stay here and watch. And he went forward a little and he fell on the ground. And what did he do? He prayed. He said, if it's possible that the hour might pass from him. He prayed, God, if there's another way, if we have a second plan. They did not. And he said, Abba, Father. Step two, he trusted. He said, all things are possible. They're possible with unto you. He said, take away this cup from me. But he continued to trust. Nevertheless, not what I want, but what you want. He's praying. He's trusting. God, I know you can do anything, but your will be done. Your will be done. And he comes and he finds him sleeping again. And he says, Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Couldn't you watch 1 hour? Watch and pray. Lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is ready. The flesh is weak. And again, he went away and he prayed. And he's prayed the same prayer. He's praying and he's trusting. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. They didn't know what to say. And he comes the third time and he says unto them, sleep on now. Take your rest. It's enough. Now he's obeying. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up. I'm going to obey. Lo, he that betrays me is here. He prayed, he trusted, and he obeyed. He's the perfect example of what we're to do in every single situation. If Jesus prayed, trusted, and obeyed, what are we going to do? We should pray, trust, and obey. It's his plan, it's his will. pray, God, what is your will for me? What's your plan? God, I trust your plan. I trust your will. And then obey it. That's the hardest part. A lot of times we pray and we trust, but we don't want to do it. Do it. Jesus didn't want to do it, but he did it. So we do it, knowing that all things are for his glory and not ours. It's about him, not us. When you know who he is, when you know where he sits, what does anything else matter? We just had Holy Communion, and we thanked him for dying on the cross. We thanked him for saving our souls. We pray, we trust, we obey. I'm telling you, I have a great plan. PTO. I hope you remember that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for your living word. Thank you that your word speaks to us, that it pierces us, that it edifies us, that it rebukes us, and that it saves us. God, we give you praise that you've given us the perfect plan, that if we would just follow your example, that if we would pray to you, we would ask your will. We would trust you no matter what you say or no matter what it looks like. And we would obey you because your will be done, not ours. God, I ask that for everyone that heard this word. I ask it for myself and for my family and for this church, that we would pray, trust, and obey you every time. I'm not going to ask anyone to raise their hand. God looks at our hearts. I'm not going to ask anyone to stand. God looks and knows what we want. If you want this, though, start doing it. If you need more boldness, pray for it. He'll give it to you. But I'm telling you, trust him in everything. Pray without ceasing. Know who he is. Know that he is Almighty God. And obey whatever he tells you, whether it makes any sense to you or not. It's the perfect, perfect way. It's the victorious way. So as we begin to sing and close this service, the altar is always open. If you want to come and lay something down, if you're done trusting in yourself, if you're done not praying for everything, if you're done, if you know something he's told you to do and you're ready to obey, come and I will pray for you. Do it in your seat. Get right with God, though. Do it now.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.